Please welcome Michael Kaplan.
One morning in 1987, I got up, I got dressed, and I rode my bike over to the Santa Monica courthouse for the first day of a murder trial. The young man on trial was named Joe Hunt, and he was the ringleader of a notorious group called the BBC, or the Billionaire Boys Club. And Joe had surrounded himself with the best and brightest and wealthiest young men in Los Angeles, and they had created a number of enterprises. And when they had gone south, he had allegedly killed for profit. And this was several years before the O.J. Simpson trial, and this particular trial and the lead up to it had really swept the city. But that's not why I went. Nor did I go because I was able to ride my bike 5 minutes to get there. I went because I had gone to high school with him. And I was really curious. Back then, he was Joe Gamsky. We had been on the speech and debate team together at Harvard School, all-boys school, only 120 kids in our graduating class. And I was just really curious how he had become this supposed Svengali and mastermind, and had then been tempted to the dark side. So I went, took a seat behind the press corps, and the trial began with the prosecutor's opening statement, and he was establishing Joe Hunt's ambition, Joe Hunt's brilliance when it came to investment, Joe Hunt's leadership abilities. I'm stealing glances at the defendant, and all I can think is, this is the guy who tried to impeach Ricky Berg as debate squad captain. Because Ricky was appointed debate squad captain by our coach, Mr. Woods, and Joe was furious. This was supposedly his birthright. And he couldn't let it go. And he argued and he pushed and he argued and he put together a petition. And then he put together a 20-page case for why he should be debate squad captain. And Mr. Woods took it, dropped it in the trash, and kicked him off the debate team. Small potatoes when stacked beside murder, admittedly. But I was looking for a pattern. And now the prosecutor is talking about how Joe Hunt and the Billionaire Boys Club, they were running a pyramid scheme. They were getting money from investors. The investments weren't going that well, so they needed to get more money in to pay out supposed dividends to the first investors to look good and keep getting in more money and keep paying it out and, of course, spending a lot of it on themselves. This wasn't a plan that was going to go on forever. And at a certain point, Joe had met a shady millionaire in Beverly Hills named Ron Levin. And Ron Levin said, hey, you're obviously a very, very talented investor. I'm going to set up a fund for you, $500,000. I'm going to tell my broker to do whatever you say, and whatever profit you make, we will split 50-50. And in 4 months' time, Joe turned it into $7 million. And the boys of the BBC were ecstatic. This was a huge score. Things were going to go fine from then on. And then Ron Levin revealed that there never had been actual money in that account, that he had told his broker he was making a documentary film, so that he was going through the motions as though they were making a film about investment. And Ron Levin took some of the orders and on his own made those investments and made some money. He had basically conned Joe. Joe Hunt was furious, absolutely was going to get revenge, and the prosecutor was telling us that their star witness had been second in command, Joe's right-hand man at the BBC, Dean Carney, who was now in the witness protection program because he was terrified for his own life. All I could think was, I went to Dean Carney's birthday party. He went to school with us too. In 11th grade, he invited like 20 of us to a comedy club for his birthday. And I sat there thinking, wow, what am I doing here? I don't even know this guy. I mean, I guess because my name came right after his in homeroom. It was just always Kaplan Carney, Kaplan Carney, that, you know, he just automatically thought of me and invited me along. But this was Dean. Up until the very last day of high school, he was always trying to figure out where he fit in. And it wasn't until years and years later that he reunites with Joe Gamsky, now Joe Hunt, that it's clear, okay, this is where he's going to be. This is his niche. But now he's the state witness. And the prosecutor goes on to tell us that when Joe realized he had been conned by Ron Levin, he went to his house with another member of the BBC, pulled a gun, got him to write a check for $1.5 million on the Swiss bank account that he had, and then they killed him. And at that point, there was a hush in the room, and Joe Hunt sat there with this impassive, slightly arrogant look, exactly the way he looked when he hit me in the face in dodgeball. But again, those are small potatoes. Now the defense attorney gets up, and he is really pumping up this guy. He is talking about how Joe is a misunderstood genius, that at this young age, he created whole cloth, a philosophy that he called paradox philosophy. And he used this to justify actions and to get all the different members of the Billionaire Boys Club to join him and to take part in the different enterprises, no matter how shady. And he was so charismatic that he lured these incredible wealthy young men, Tom and David May, whose family had made millions on the May Company department store and the Park La Brea apartments downtown, and Steve Taglianetti, whose father was the number one importer on the West Coast of foreign automobiles. And I'm thinking, I went to high school with them too. Am I the only one in the class of 1977 who didn't get into this shit? And then I realize Tom and David May and Steve Taglianetti, they're morons. I mean, these were really rich, really dumb kids who were showing up at school driving Ferraris and Porsches and, you know, white-knuckling their C-minus averages. None of them finished college. And again, you know, they were ready, absolute. They didn't need paradox philosophy to be convinced. You give them a line of cocaine and a balloon animal, they'll do whatever you say. And then it occurs to me, Joe is not some dark prince. He's not a mastermind. He's a creepy, pushy guy. And, you know, in the early 1960s, the writer Hannah Arendt went to Israel for the trial of Adolf Eichmann, who was in Hitler's inner circle. And that was when she coined the phrase, banality of evil. And she, you know, made the point that people wanted to believe that he was an evil monster, that there was nothing in him they would recognize in themselves, and that it would take a absolutely superhuman energy not to be seduced by that. But what she saw was a pathetic, almost ridiculous man who had just put his self-interest first over and over again. And sitting in that courtroom in Santa Monica, I thought, yeah, everybody around me wants to believe in the monster. The press, there had already been 6 magazine articles, there would be 2 books that would come out afterwards. Hollywood, as soon as he was convicted of murder, out came the NBC miniseries, The Billionaire Boys Club, with Judd Nelson playing Joe Hunt. Even both attorneys wanted to keep that story going. Well, it was recess. It was time for lunch. I had gone to this trial thinking that I was going to be able to hide in plain sight, that it had been 10 years since high school. I had lost 40 pounds. I was like wearing contact lenses. My hair was different. But, you know, I come out, I round a corner. There is Joe Hunt standing with a couple of his supporters, and he looks at me and goes, "Kaplan." And yes, a chill ran down my spine, but not because this was like the Dark Prince, the Lord Voldemort of my high school. And honestly, to just further make this case, tell you one more thing about it. Joe decides that he's going to get even with Ron Levin, and he is very methodical, and so he makes his list that he's going to go to Ron's house, get inside, pull the gun, handcuff him, get him to write the check, close the blinds, put letters and an old contract that they had a deal in the file, change the answering machine message, get him to lie down on the bed, shoot him, roll him up in the comforter, remove it, and bury it out in Soledad Canyon. And do you know why this genius, this mastermind, was arrested? He left that list at the crime scene. I rest my case.